Paul Ramo here for Q92 Radio, and it's Veterans Day today, and we have a special guest on the joining us on the phone, Bill Struzinski. Bill's a friend of mine because we know each other with our work through Pioneer PBS in Granite Falls, don't we, Bill?
Yes, we do, Paul. Yeah. Wonderful organization.
It is, and why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners, Bill?
Well, good morning. My name is Bill Struzinski. I wrote a book called Care Under Fire, which reflects my experiences as a combat medic in Vietnam. And I've dedicated my professional life after Vietnam to good public policy. I am a government affairs consultant specialist, and I work with public television.
That's right. That's how we know each other, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Bill is a senior lobbyist at the Minnesota State Capitol, and we've sat in on a number of meetings with legislatures and senators over the years with public television, haven't we, Bill?
Yes, we have. Like, this is my 50th session coming up, so I've been doing it for quite a while. And Paul, you've been very great help on this Pioneer Board, there's no doubt about it. So
thank you. 50 years.
Yes, sir.
You know a lot of people then, huh?
Indeed. It's been quite an experience and quite a ride. Yes, okay. Indeed. But it's changed.
Okay.
You know, politics is the art of making sausage at the Capitol, and unfortunately, in recent times, all they're making anymore is blood sausage.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully, we get beyond all of it.
Right. Well, Bill has wrote a book. It's called Care Under Fire. It's about his experience as a combat medic during the Vietnam War. And, Bill, what gave you the idea to write a book, a memoir?
Well, there were actually, Paul, a couple of things. First of all, I was asked to be a keynote speaker at the Minnesota Ambulance Association one day. They have a Stars of Life Awards banquet, and they were interested in my story as a combat medic. And I thought, if anybody understands what I went through, it's the EMTs and paramedics and those kinds of folks who are on the front lines every day dealing with life's worst and most traumatic experiences you can imagine. So I agreed to do that, and I had, at the end of the speech, I was wonderfully applauded and appreciated, welcome home, and they gave me one of the Stars of Life medals. And I was so touched, and that was one of the first times actually I felt welcomed home from Vietnam. The second thing that caused me to write the book was we had worked with public television to get some money for a project called Minnesota Remembers Vietnam a couple of years ago. It was the Minnesota version of Ken Burns' programs centered around Vietnam, I think 3 or 4 years ago. And I did a lot of testifying about that and some about my experiences in Vietnam and helped secure the funding. Those two things led me to say, well, why don't I just keep writing about my story? And it's good therapy. I enjoyed it. And that's what happened. I just continued writing my story, and lo and behold, it got published not too long ago. And in fact, I won 2 national awards just last
year. Wow.
A few months ago.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I should mention that Bill earned several awards, including 3 Bronze Stars for Valor and the Combat Medical Badge. Take us back to Vietnam in the era there in the 60s, Bill, and the country and what it was like for you.
Well, those of us that were alive back in the 60s and 70s certainly remember the political strife in our country. I was drafted in 1966, and that's just what we did. We went into service, and that's what my dad did, my uncles did, everybody there with World War II. But there was a lot of political strife in our country, a lot of racial strife in our country, a lot of war protesting, and what have you. But I went, and I volunteered to be a medic because the military promised me, the Army did, down at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, promised me that I would probably get assigned to a hospital in Germany or Italy if I wanted to be a medic. Well, that was the first time the Army led me astray. It wasn't true. I ended up spending my whole year with the infantry in Vietnam.
Okay. Yeah, that's different. Why a medic, Bill?
Well, all the job choices I was given. I had about a year and a half, two years of college when I went in. And they offered me, you know, to drive truck. I knew how to do that. Did I want to shoot guns and stuff like rifles? And I said, well, it sounded like infantry. It didn't sound good to me. How about artillery? No. Cook? Maybe. No. But a medic, I said, that was something I could learn some protocols, some emergency first aid things. It may be worthwhile the rest of my life. and be an opportunity to perhaps explore a career. So I volunteered to be a medic.
Okay.
And they were happy. And I was happy, too. I was really pleased that I chose to be a medic.
Well, when did you get over to Vietnam? And tell us a little bit about your experience in Vietnam.
Well, I arrived in Vietnam in August of 1967. I went straight to Company A, 1st Battalion, 26th Infantry of the 1st Infantry Division. I was a blue spader in the Big Red One. I spent my whole year in the field, never saw a hospital during my tour of duty. And it was pretty intense a lot of times, not just intense from combat, but intense with constant patrols and what have you. In those days, at least, we were all foot soldiers, and I pulled over 200, probably 250 patrols in Vietnam every day.
Wow.
And I think why that was compared to World War II and other wars is that Vietnam, Paul, was the first time where medics were actually embedded with the infantry. The Army protocol was they're going to try and save more lives than they did in World War II or Korea. So every time a small unit went out, a squad or whatever, the medic went out with them. We didn't wear red armbands, didn't wear red crosses on our helmet because medics had a bounty on our heads. It was $500 if the North Vietnamese or Viet Cong could kill a medic.
Wow.
And but we were there and went on, did a lot of patrols with the guys. And I can tell you this much. I was always afraid to go into firefighter into combat, but at least I knew I had my brothers, and we clearly looked out for each other. And the relationship between a medic and an infantryman is quite significant. It's very strong to this day, and something that lasts a lifetime. And I always think about that, how much I looked for them for protection and for me to protect them should the unimaginable happen.
Right.
And unfortunately, it happened quite a bit.
Do you remember your very first patrol, Bill?
I remember the first patrol. Certainly, we were actually it was not very eventful, and I was learning the ropes. In fact, I replaced another medic who was really very well grounded with the platoon, so it was just kind of learning on the job where my spot was on the patrol and whatever. So it was uneventful; nothing happened. But it wasn't too long after that that I was in a patrol, nighttime ambush patrol, they call them, where a squad was going out on ambush at dark to set up to ambush the enemy and to further protect the night defensive position we had dug in into the jungle. But on that patrol, it was something different. That we're going near a village and passing by, and one of the guys right next to me, in fact, he saw a machine gun pointed at us, and he told me to hit it, Doc. So I hit it, and so did he and everybody else. So we all got down as the machine gun burst, fired at us, and the ricochets were right in front of me and bounced up over my head. But unfortunately, one of the ricochets caught him in the shoulder and the neck, and he just later succumbed to his wounds.
Mm.
And I thought about that because that was the first really major kill in action casualty that I had. And I remember laying on top of him, shooting up with morphine because he was having difficulty trying to get up. He was in a lot of pain, but I had to keep him protected as best I could. So I did what I could, but unfortunately he didn't survive. And that provided some pretty tough times for me going ahead for a period of time and how to deal with that. You do your best, and still it isn't good enough. But I got over that, thanks to a good old first sergeant who said, if you don't get over those kinds of incidents, you're never going to be worth a damn to the rest of the soldiers. And so step it up, move forward. And I have. I took that to heart, and that's what I've done.
Okay. And how long was your tours in Vietnam?
Well, I was there for one tour, which was actually 1 year, but I actually got stuck there on three leap years. So I spent 366 days in Vietnam.
Okay. All right.
But it was, and I came back in August 1968. That was during Overtet and everything else. I mean, it was kind of a very interesting time. Military buildup was significant at that point.
Okay. What was your welcome back like? to the United States?
Well, yeah, coming home was very difficult. You know, soldiers always wonder what's going on at home, and Martin Luther King was assassinated when I was in Vietnam, and so was Bobby Kennedy. And interesting enough, the infantry units in those days, almost half of them, 40% for sure, was black. But we learned how to get along just fine, and we were good friends in the looked out after each other in combat. No shenanigans, no BS. We just had each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
We were always wondering why people back home couldn't get along as well as we were getting along in a combat zone. Interesting enough. But they warned us when I came back that things were different than when we left. That there was a lot of protesters. We'd be greeted by protesters, and certainly we were. And that was frustrating to me. I mean, we had people throwing eggs at the bus when I was coming from the airport over to the military base. They all know we were soldiers. It was terrible. And they told all of us not to wear our uniforms when we went home because, you know, you might be subject to harassment. And it was true. You know, I've been called baby killer and all that sort of stuff, and I just couldn't imagine how this could be going on when we were all just doing our job.
Right.
And that was very frustrating.
Yep. Well, talk about later when you got home. How did you deal with this? Suffer from PTSD, and how did you deal with it?
Good point. Good question. I tell you, it was. I had decided when I got back home to get involved in creating good public policy, to finish my degree and get it in political science, get involved in government, and work with legislatures and governors. And my whole life I've been doing that, and so I fulfilled that commitment to myself. And that helped. Even on college campuses, met protesters and whatever, but I had a focus, I had a mission, but that all helped. So you do move forward. And you think about these things, and we all suffer from PTSD. And but I've been fortunate to have a chance to process a lot of those issues that I dealt with, certainly as a young man with life and death, making tough calls, mm-hmm. making very tough decisions. So that was gratifying for me to try to work through and put everything in perspective. And Paul, actually, interesting. One of the things, neat things that came out of writing my book, my story. That was very therapeutic for me. It helped me reflect upon a lot of the incidences that I hadn't reflected upon for a while, but were causing me some sleepless nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to put things in perspective, and that book was very helpful for me.
Okay.
And the other thing,
yep, go ahead.
I was going to say too, a lot of Vietnam veterans, people don't know, but 19.4 million gallons of Agent Orange was sprayed in Vietnam. And you have hundreds of thousands of Vietnam veterans suffering to this day from those illnesses, heart disease, cancers, and what have you. So they're still suffering from their tour of duty, from their time in the military, from the experience in combat zones. Very, very difficult. And those veterans need to be taken care of. We all need help.
Absolutely.
And thank God we've got a very good VA here in system in Minnesota, and we all appreciate our health care there.
Right. Well, the book is called Care Under Fire. I encourage you to pick one up. And how can they get the book, Bill?
Well, my publisher, Calumet Edition, probably has some copies, I'm sure. People can go to my website, which is careunderfire.us.
Okay.
And that website will enable people to learn more about my story, something, and you can buy the book through there. It'll actually connect you to Amazon, because the book is for sale on Amazon.
Okay. Did we cover everything that you wanted to mention there about the book, Bill?
I think so, but I did want to make one statement, Paul, about about the book. You know, I won some nice national awards. I won the best military nonfiction novel of the year for 2020 from the independent book publishers. And I was a finalist in the category of memoirs, overcoming adversity and tragedy. Because my story is a lot about turning post-traumatic stress into post-traumatic strength.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate the accolades, but the awards really go to all those who served in the military, all those who served in combat. It's our story. I happen to write mine out, but they all have stories too. And people need to ask veterans about those stories. In our society, the way we govern, and our freedoms and everything else, we all stand on the shoulders of those that went before us. And I have to also remind people that in war, there are no unwounded soldiers. So all soldiers suffered a lot of experiences, and they have stories to tell, and they need to share them if you can get them talking about it. And I encourage you to do that. Because in Minnesota, there's 133 suicides a year from veterans, just in Minnesota. We have a lot of guys my age now who served in Vietnam, came home, raised a family, did good things, very productive in their jobs and whatever. Now they're retired, sitting home, thinking about things and trying to process things they should have processed 50 years ago. So I encourage everybody to reach out and listen to Grandpa, go talk to their neighbor, hear their story.
Okay. Very well said, Bill. Bill, thank you so much for your service, and welcome home. And thank you for writing that book, Care Under Fire.
Thank you, Paul. It's been my pleasure to speak with you today.
Yep.
Thank you for all the good things you do as well.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Straczynski. Right. Yep, Bill Straczynski, the author of Care Under Fire. I encourage you to pick a book up and read it today.